motion? Or?
Yeah. I'd say let's give it a couple minutes, okay, just in case. And then.
Nolan was.
All right, it's 7:02, and since neither our chair nor our vice chair are here, I'm going to call the March 6th DRB meeting to order, and then after roll call, we'll move to allow me to step in as chair for the meeting.
Carolyn Adams?
Here.
Tim Olson?
Here.
Nolan Morgan? Brad Brown? Scott Reiser? Dave Russell?
Here.
Susan Bush?
Here.
So I guess I make the I move. Could somebody make a motion to?
I move to appoint Carolyn Adams chair for this session.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I guess it's moved that I will be the chair for tonight. So we have no minutes to approve tonight. And on the agenda, we have one item for the design response conference, and that's Patella Village file. DRV 15-01250-10006 Lake Street South. And first, I think we have requests from the audience on subjects unrelated to this topic. And as I'm hearing none, I'd like to hear from Angela first.
Good evening. I'm just going to give a brief presentation reminding people of the background on this, and then the architect is here to give their update on their drawings. So just a reminder that the applicant's request is for a mixed-use building, approximately 6,000 square feet of ground floor retail, 58 residential units, and structured parking. They've been before you twice before, on August 24th, 2015, and on January 4th, 2016, for this design response conference. There's also been a number of continuations in between those dates, but those are the two times that they were actually here with their drawings. And as you can see in the packet, they included comments that you made for those meetings as a reminder. At the last meeting where this was discussed, the January meeting, there were some things that you asked them to do. And so I thought I'd just go through those. One was to propose ways to break up the roof form. Another was to revisit the concept of the white picture frame features on the building. And there was also a request to make the building seem more like two separate buildings. It's a U-shape now, but we wanted to have a more of a feeling of two separate buildings there. More modulation of the east facade, the east wall. The comment was that it was too long and not enough modulation. There was a suggestion of shifting that east wall of the plaza forward and staggering the east elevation. That was one way that you suggested they might break up that wall. And then you also asked them to study the possibility of moving the driveway closer to Lake Street South so that they could reduce the height of both the ground floor retail and the building overall. And at that time, there was some debate about what Public Works thought, but Public Works did respond and say that they could move it up to 50 feet closer. And they have done some of that, but I'll let them go ahead and explain it. I also just wanted to remind you that there was an environmental impact statement for this project, and granted, it's pretty old. It was done back in November of 2012, and at that time, we were looking at a totally different project, really, one that was almost three times as much density and a different building massing. But we still need to kind of take that into account. We'll be doing an addendum to that EIS for whatever project goes forward. But there's some mitigating measures that you should keep in mind just from the old EIS, because we'll bring those forward. And they have to do with the massing and the size. And so these are things that while you're looking at the design, you should consider these and think about whether they have done this in the way prescribed or in a way that gets to the same result. So the first one is to set back the top floor along the west building facade. Then there was also reduced perceived building mass by providing two distinct building wings. That's something that you talked to them about last time. And then provide exterior wall modulation basically on the other three facades, the east, north, and south facades. So while you're looking at this, be thinking about those mitigating measures from that old EIS.
Angela, on the first item, that was for a one-story higher building.
Yeah, and
set the top floor back.
As I said, are they getting to the same result? You know, okay, so you're right. It's not that it was a different design, but do you feel that you're getting the same, getting what you need out of the building on the west facade, so that it doesn't appear too large? And then what you'll be doing tonight is providing feedback on the project. You know, looking at the pedestrian-oriented design guidelines, also the EIS direction, and then determining if there's any other information you need. So that's what I have, unless you have questions. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, now may we hear from the applicant, please?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Radim Blaché. I work for Karen Architecture. We are the architects on the project. I'll walk you through some of the changes we made to the project since last time we met. Couple discussions point I will make before I get to the each and specific issue and how we address this. The project, as was previously under EIS, was a U-shaped building. And so that's where we originally started, in that shape. The second part of that issue, we have, after the last presentation here, we had a meeting with the city of Kirkland and with the traffic engineer and the city engineer. Previously, we've been told that we need the driveway to be 100 feet from the intersection, and they reduced it to 75 feet. So we were able to move the driveway closer to the Lake Boulevard. And then last item, we have met with, and I think they will speak tonight, their opinion, we have met with the representative of the residential condominium behind our project before this meeting and discuss some of the changes. This is not illustrated in this package, but one of the discussion points they wanted us to potentially consider was to remove some of the balconies on the east side, especially in the middle section, to, again, for the sake of privacy, to reduce people walking out and being faced between us and them. And we are willing to consider that, but it's not illustrated in your package. So those are the kind of items I wanna mention. So I will get to the how we modified the design, and Angela went through some of the items. We have identified sort of 15 items the board asked us to address last time, and I will go item by item here, and then I will show you visually how we felt we illustrated that. This is on page 5 of the packet. Item number 1 was the separation or the distinction between residential and commercial openings. And we have scaled down the residential openings in many occasions, provide operable windows on residential portions, and I will go over that. I will show you that on each illustration, but let me go just for the list if you don't mind. On commercial portion, it is, and there we propose those are fiberglass, so they can be painted on residential portion. On commercial portion, they will be storefront, also painted storefront, aluminum base window, and there are floor to ceiling, essentially, with maybe some louvers where we need ventilation. We have looked at the landscape, revised the landscape to meet the impervious code, which unfortunately requires that a lot of the courtyard and plaza is going to be lawn or fully landscaped areas, not paving. And then we, in discussion with the neighbors to the east, we have modified the landscape pattern on the east side to provide more evergreen trees there to provide all year round privacy and screening between those two properties. Proposed ways to break up the roof. So the whole massing of the project, a lot of the discussion in the previous meetings were about using of the 3-foot additional bonus in the code, and is it appropriate or not? And we removed that. So we lowered the whole building 3 feet down. So it's within 30 feet basic code height above average base height. So we removed the 3 feet out of the building. There is a dilemma here in terms of the modulation because the code prescribed the height to be calculated to the top of the parapet, not of the roof. And the neighbors to the east wanted to decrease the parapets as possible. So there is a modulation. The other way we kind of modulated the roof, we had previously this pictures frames, which really were uniformly tying the elevations on all sides. And we now broke those in many occasions and allowed the recessed balconies to be exposed. So you will see in perspectives that while it's not necessarily in a height, there is a perception of different elements of the roof and parapet. We look at the picture frames and which basically tie the building really horizontally above the commercial level together, and we broke those. There is still elements of it. We didn't completely eliminated that. But we broke them and provide more modulation. We also assigned more muted colors and different materials to segments of those elements. So really it feels like multiple elements marching along the facade. And some of them are oriented horizontally, some of them are oriented vertically. And so we're breaking that horizontal band of two-story elements around the building. Modulate the east wall and propose that the building looks like two buildings. So what we did, we take the middle section of the project and move it away from the east neighbor additional 8 feet. So the building now is really H-shaped building with two strong wings on north and south, and then connector. And we also try to emphasize this move with the different materials in that middle section. We talk about the evergreens, and then we were able to move the driveway to 75 feet from the intersection, the minimum given by the city, and that allowed us to decrease the height of the building overall 3 feet. We took about half of that from residential floors and half of that from the commercial floor, while also allowing us to actually now get comfortable access for clearance for handicapped vans into that. And then we look actually at the corners, especially on the east side, and modify the units so the balconies occur now in the corners and break up the corners instead of the hard elements we had in the previous scheme. So again, softening the corners and softening the feeling of overall big box. And I, on the desk next to Angela, we have a material palette. And so we took off the white. We heard the comment about this building being too contrasty and black and white, and so we provide more subdued and textured material for the building, and I'm happy to talk about the materials later. So at we on the site plan, and I don't know if you can see that, but the center section moved, decreased the size of the court, but created basically these two north and south wings with the connector element. Now there is about 37 it's 37 plus 8. That's 45 feet between the structures in the middle section. And then there is about 36 feet between the property here and the single family. The floor plans did not change substantially, but we were, by moving the driveway, we had to readjust the parking element and decrease slightly the size of the retail spaces on the front. I believe from 7,000 to about 6,000 or 5,800. But we gain several additional parking spaces. The main residential entry is still from the plaza, with residential amenities around the plaza, and then the retail facing the street and having opportunity to open to the courtyard. This portion from here all the way around is below grade, so it's invisible. The mezzanine level, this is where we come from the street, and then ramping down or staying on this level for parking, contains some trash room, which is served again from the street here, and then it allows these retail and residential amenity spaces to have taller ceiling. Two levels of residential unit, again, 58 in total. So the program did not change. And here are the balconies, the four balconies we were discussing with the neighbor to remove those from the project. On a landscaping side, we have the prescribed street trees and planters along Lake Street and 10th Avenue. We have additional planting strip along the 10th Avenue, and then we have densely planted landscape buffer on the east and south end. Main walkway to the residential entry and a little area here for the residents for spillover. And then, as I said, majority, unfortunately, of the courtyard is landscaped in a three-dimensional way. And we'll have some detail in the section where we create sort of series of berms and seating opportunities along them. We also have a water feature coming out to the street from the area by the entry, so guiding you to the building. And then seating opportunities, and then some areas of spill out for the commercial businesses. On materials, we are looking at Equitone panels, which come in a variety of the colors, and some of them have embedded textures. We're also looking at Prodema, basically artificial wood-looking like panels. The advantage of using those is that they really don't age or remain without the problems associated with natural wood on the facade. So we're looking for longevity, long-term. These are through color, and so they're not rely on paint to look look good. So again, the idea is that this building really stay. We have a slate on the base, And then we have some areas around the windows and infill panels which are painted to match the frames of the windows. So those are the only areas we're looking for painted surfaces. And so on these elevations, we're looking at the bottom one is what you've seen last time, where we had very strong commercial base with stone, and then we have these big picture frames which really encompass the residential two stories and were the big picture frames. And so what we did, while we kept some of the modulation or increased some of the modulation, some of the elements were broken, and now they come all the way to the ground and create sort of vertical element. We reversed this strong corner on the northeast and put a balcony there again to soften the corner, and generally provided more wood or wood-like material around the facades. Again, this is the previous version, and this is the new version. We indicating both on the south and east property lines, wood fence required by the city, 6-foot wood fence. We talked about last time that it can be semi-transparent, that the paneling doesn't have to be solid, that we'll have a board pattern, and you will see that on some of the elevations where you can kind of see it and make it a softer edge. Upon discussion with the neighbors, they were interested if maybe the fence doesn't need to be there since they have actually hatch on their property, and if the board wants to consider that, we'll be open to eliminating that fence, at least along their property line. This is the east elevation, and so this was the previous white kind of symmetrical element with some modulation. What we did now, we created these two wings, the south and north wing, connected by the middle section, which is pushed 8 feet back from their property line, and we softened the corners by providing balconies at the corner, so it's not the hard, strong edge of the box on those elevations. Again, I think we added some of the facade, but the west elevation changed only slightly. We still have the retail, we have the residential lobby here, we have basically bamboo wall covering where we have the ramp down, another retail, and two units facing in the back, and then these sections is the connector between these two wings. Here is a couple other sections. This is where we were on the previous, and we drop it overall 3 feet. As I said, about half of that came out of decreasing the residential height. Now each of the units is 8'9" clear within the unit, which is kind of normal perimeter. And then we decrease the residential portion about 1.5 feet. So right now, previously was a lot of discussion about the clearance. Right now we have about 14.4 clear in that commercial space with about 16 feet floor to ceiling, floor to floor on that first floor and mezzanine. So here are some of the elevation. This looks a little bit more saturated than on my screen, but we try to create these different materials, not only in color, but also, I don't know if you can see it probably better on your brochure. This is sort of larger format panels on this side. We have essentially shiplap application in this element, and then we have some panels here. And then, so we try to vary the texture and the color of these elements so it really feels like there is an assemblage of a similar buildings rather than one continuous big building. And this is the east facade facing the condominium and single family. This is the additional recess we created, and those are the 8 balconies we are willing to remove, and then additional landscaping along these two sides. This is the fence we talk about. This is in front of a single family. and then it continues down in front of the condominium. Proposing steel and glass canopies with embedded lights, so there is a downlight. There's opportunity for blade signs and also for the business sign, and we have some louvers for the mechanical spaces for the commercial businesses. So generally, we try to soften the project, create more muted materials, more textured materials, break up in different elements. And here is kind of what I referred to originally. Our parapet doesn't vary much, but because of these different recesses, it really creates a variety of the roof element. So the view of the courtyard. Public seating in front of the businesses. And this is the area in front of the residential entry and amenity. Shadow studies, and I know that, let's see, which one was the December one? I think the December 12th, these two are switched in that. So this is actually noon, and I think this is the 3 p.m. From the shadow, but that's the only change. But if you see, for majority, we're not really even casting a shadow to the neighbors to the east. Obviously, in winter, we do. But at that point, it really everything is under the shadow. So the first one is March and fall equinox, and then there's a solstice, summer solstice, and winter solstice. And these are just the side pictures from the previous option. So that concludes my presentation today.
Thank you. Questions from the board?
I only had one small question. When you said that you dropped the ceiling height for the commercial?
Yes.
So it's 16 foot floor to floor now?
Yes.
What was it?
It was 19.
Okay.
So in accessing the residential or the retail from the parking garage, how do you do that?
Right. So the intent is that the lower floor or the ground level floor, the parking is at the same level as the commercial. So if you park here, we have this direct access to the courtyard, and then you can go out and you can come to the back to the garage.
And there's reference here to a crinkled lawn. Can you explain that? Crinkled lawn?
Crinkled lawn. Which page? I'm sorry. It will be on the landscaping, right?
Yeah.
No, that's it's
six,
right there.
Item
Oops,
six.
You had the picture.
Sorry. I think the idea of that is that really we create this sort of berms in that, so it's not just a flat. It creates sort of a three-dimensional.
So the word I assume the word crinkled meant something in a smaller scale than the berms, but it doesn't.
I don't have my landscape architect
okay.
here, so.
And you no longer are using, there was a plan to use a green wall.
No, we look at that. What we did is we have bamboo planted. That's basically the detail in front of the garage wall. That we have a planter with bamboo in front of the green wall, in front of the ramp area.
I thought the green wall was going to be on the north side of that piece, but you're not.
No, we
not
never.
Planning
no.
The green
yeah,
wall.
We never have
okay,
that.
Thank you. So
the plan views on level one and level two indicate some sort of columns or posts at the far northwest and southwest. I'm sorry. Yeah, southwest corner.
I'm sorry. Can you give me a page, please?
It'd be page 8 or, well, let's see, your page.
Here we go.
8 or 9.
Yes.
Yeah. So those, I can.
Right here, right?
Yeah, there, and then there's those right there. But they don't show up in the renderings or the perspectives. Are they there or are they not there?
I think right now we are looking that above the commercial level we have a PT slab. Mm-hmm. We might continue the concrete on the upper levels as well. That's still unknown. So I think we can remove those columns.
Okay. And then so right there on that same plan, that the dashed lines right there, down at the bottom, right there. So
those indicates the sort of the box overhang or the balcony overhangs above.
So is that the frame?
Overhang? It's the frame or the balcony. You know, the frame is not continuous throughout the whole facade.
But the frame sticks out beyond what we're seeing right there. At least it does on the renderings or on the, correct? I need to look. In other words, the railing is inset inside the frame somewhat.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is okay. Inset. Yes.
I guess what I'm looking at is I know there on some of the plans there were some nice grid lines shown for us, you know, 1 through 12 and A through J. And I'm trying to figure out what do those represent, sort of face of concrete, face of stud when you get up to the second and third floors, and then elements are sticking out beyond that. Go one more. Okay, so those grid lines that are imposed there.
There would be a structural grid. So it would be either a column grid in the garage or on the perimeter. We probably face over the wall.
Okay.
Okay. So, and then things can overhang beyond that.
So frames hang out beyond that. Okay. Okay. That I think is all I have.
Okay. Can you show us a view that shows basically looking down on the roof? What else? And I noticed there's some paving lights that look kind of interesting that's called out on the landscape plan.
Yes.
But what, do you have a little more information on that?
Oh, sorry. We have a question about the roof now?
I just wanted to have a look
so
at
So in
it.
The center, we just have elevator overruns, no access on the roof, and we plan this as a screening for mechanical units, both for residential and the commercial in the middle.
And it's going to be a white surface?
It's probably going to be a light surface because of the energy code, so TPO or some sort of a plastic roof. Not necessarily purely white, but the energy code calls for light surface.
Okay.
So the paving, and I'll go back to the landscape plan is probably the best one. So those lights, those paving lights, you will see them embedded here along that path to guide
you. So they bisect the path.
They bisect the path. They're basically embedded between the sections of those pavings.
Okay. And is there an area of retail that's below grade?
No. All the retail is at the grade of the street.
Okay. That's all my questions. Anyone else before we go into public comment? Okay, so the next part is when the public has an opportunity to comment, and everybody should be, or please do sign up here. If you haven't and you want to talk, please come up to the podium. Comments should be brief, repetition should be avoided, and all comments and questions should be directed to Design Review Board. So first we have Atis Freimanis. Okay, I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Pretty good. Not bad. Hello, my name is Atis Freimanis, and I'm here to represent the Park Bay owners, condominium owners on the east side of the property line. And as stated before, we very much appreciate that Karen Architecture did reach out to us and gave us an opportunity to discuss with them. Unfortunately, it was after it had been submitted to you, so some of the comments, and as you heard previously about the balconies and things like that, have not been reflected there, but I'm very glad that Karen has come forward with that. So from our perspective, we very much appreciate the inset that has been put there. I think that helps a lot. And we very much appreciate that the building has come down to 30 feet ABE, which it should for a four-story building. It is four-story still, but we still think it's maybe a foot too tall in the retail, but that's a separate item. And in terms of the fence and things like that, we're open to whatever makes the most sense. I mean, possibly yes, possibly no. I mean, we're still in kind of discussions with that a little bit. But generally, the modulations that we've seen on the east side are okay in terms of the inset. What we still have some concern about are these picture frame concept. I think that doesn't really work as a general rule all around the building. The modulation of the parapet height is just giving us unwanted shadows in the wintertime. I understand what we're trying to do to break it up, but if I look on page four, if you look at the DRC1, DRC2, and then I understand the perspective of DRC3 is a little different, but if you just look at that front picture, you don't really see any difference in the picture framing. It looks pretty much the same, and I think the picture frame is a little bit wider now because the two stories above have come down a little bit, so it's a little accentuated. Seems to me it should be a little thinner, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be working on that front. So our view is that the parapet modulations are not helping, but the in-out modulations of the building are seem to be okay. Other than that, we're very pleased that Karen is willing to work with us on the east boundary line, and we're looking forward to being able to work with them on real practical discussions as we go forward. So now, if I talk about the building overall, I still think that the concern has always been that this is a decent project for a downtown core, but the concern is we're in a residential neighborhood, and it doesn't have that neighborhood feel. It feels like something that would be great downtown, but not in a neighborhood. Anyway, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Chuck Pilcher, please. Somebody crossed their name off here. Okay, so.
Are you going to follow?
Okay, yeah, I got drafted. The a number of us have been involved with this Patala project for. Do you need a name or?
Yeah, please state your name. Sorry,
Mark
and
Taylor.
Address.
I'm down the street on Lake Washington Boulevard.
Okay, thank you.
So a number of us have been involved in this Patala thing for over 6 years now. So, like I'm sure you all are, we're sick of hearing about it. You're sick of hearing about it. You'd like it to just go away. But I think the key question is what's the right thing for Kirkland? And I was kind of humored looking at the slides earlier because it seems to me that for neighborhood business, this structure has less of a percentage of square footage devoted to business than my house. So I think, you know, there's an issue here in terms of what is the purpose of the structure. A neighborhood business is to provide business services for the neighborhood. It's not to create a behemoth structure that doesn't really fit into its surroundings. And that really has been the gist of, for 6 years now, we've been saying the same thing over and over, and I know you're sick of hearing about it. Two levels below ground. I don't know if any of you ever have a chance to go by the property, but there's been standing water on that property for more than 7 months of the year for the past several years. This is at ground level. So we're talking about going down a floor and a half or two floors below ground. You know, it seems that there are some issues here that are being glossed over by everybody, and no one feels the need to be accountable for anything here. We have somebody who's trying to flip a property, not an actual developer who's going to be responsible for owning the property and being responsible for the result of the development here. So I think we really need to, again, what's best for Kirkland? I think we need to think twice here and not just green light a flipper. Finally, there's a question about vesting rights and whether vesting really should apply here, given that the previous developer is no longer involved. We all know the history there. Again, we have somebody in control who's just looking to flip a property. They're not the ones who are going to be responsible for the end result. No one's going to be accountable. They're going to be gone, money returned to investors, and so on. even if the vesting that has occurred to this point still exists, the current project has grown considerably, more than 10% in footprint and mass since it was first allowed by RCW 173-27-100. So it seems like this project really deserves a new shoreline development permit. Rather than just moving forward from here, we ought to step back, take a second look at this thing, and see what makes sense for this property, because we would like to see something come into that property that fits into the neighborhood, and this just doesn't seem that way. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now someone deleted, so Chuck Pilcher, you're up, wherever you are.
Thank you. I'm Chuck Pilcher. I live at 223 South, 5th Avenue South in Kirkland. And I think, like Mark said, I think that some of us have been here longer than you guys have been on the Planning Commission. it's been a long slog. We're starting our seventh year at this now. And one of the things that always strikes me about this is that you are the design review board. You are not the agents of the owners of the property or the agents of the developers or anything like that. You're here to design, to assure that that a design meets the neighborhood, fits in with the neighborhood. And sometimes that may not maximize the profit of the owner of the property. And I want you to keep that in mind as you look at this whole thing, because one of our major concerns, and this was brought out in EIS 1.6.3, was the height of the front west facade of this building. And that EIS said that we should take the top floor and step it back 10 feet. Doing that would really shrink the appearance from Lake Washington Boulevard of this mass and scale and size of this building. No, you know, that was actually in the first iterations of this 6 years. Well, it was December 2013 when the EIS was finalized. But so that was over three years ago that was done. But it was in there, and I don't know where it went in the meantime, the step back to the top floor. We started out at 41.5 feet on the front facade, and big deal, we're down 3 feet. That still rounds out to 40 feet, either way you look at it. So if we can step back that top floor 10 feet and make it look like a smaller building from the west, that's the biggest concern for the community in terms of the appearance of the boulevard from our perspective. I agree that, you know, given the change in the property, we probably do need an EIS supplement, not just an addendum, and maybe even a new shoreline substantial development permit. And given all the things that we're talking about, the fact that we don't have an owner of this property other than a flipper, we don't have a developer, we know of a couple of people who have a completely different design for this thing that are interested in the property, including an assisted living facility. So I'm not even sure if you're spending your time rationally tonight even evaluating this thing. But we appreciate what you do. But mainly, please keep in mind that you're reviewing designs. You're not maximizing profit for the owners. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this topic? Okay. Can you sign in and then come up to the podium, state your name and address? It's right there.
I'm not real good about, my name is Audrey Style. I live right across the street from the project. And this gentleman over here brought up the issue about them digging down with the water that's there. We've lived there for 30 years, and we've spent probably $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on having water not coming into our place because of the fact before this project started, there was a gas station there, and they had gas station tanks there. They had to take these gas station tanks out, and then I think there was some pollution coming into our place, so we've spent a lot of money on trying to keep water from coming into our basement. So I think it's a real big issue, so I just want you guys to all be aware that if they start digging down deep, we don't want water, more water coming to our place. So that's the only thing you guys need to look at, because it's costing us every year quite a bit of money to, you know, have people come drain out our basement. And City of, if you look back 20 years ago, City of Kirkland spent at least $20,000 or $30,000 redirecting the sewer or the drainage thing from underneath our house over to Marsh Park and down to the lake. So look back in history of what's happened there. We just don't want it to get worse than what it is now, okay? Thanks.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
Should I sign?
You can go ahead and speak first and then come sign.
I'm Laura Tucker. I mean, Laura Loomis. And and I live on 110th Avenue South. I've noticed that with the apartments that are up the street from the same, you know, on the same side of the street, that with parking, the people don't, you know, they have trouble getting out of parking lots, so they tend to park on the street. And 10th Avenue South is where a lot of the emergency vehicles come down and up because the other streets have roundabouts and they can't go around them. So, and when you get cars on both sides of the street, you can't, two cars don't fit past each other. So I'm just concerned that that's going to cause a problem for the emergency vehicles in the future. So, thank you.
Thank you. And can come sign in, please?
Oh,
okay. Anyone else? Okay, then I will close the meeting for public discussion and we'll begin board deliberations. And first, Angela, could you clarify, can you say one more time what you said about the EIS and the addendum that's potentially coming forth?
You can't make a final decision, just to clarify, you won't be able to make a final decision until we have completed the addendum for this. So, but we will continue to tonight, and we wanted to discuss the project, see if you had other things or other concerns. But we will need to do that.
Okay. So basically, that's that being said, we don't really have an idea what those terms are of the potential addendum.
Oh, well, what I would say is if we do an addendum, the idea would be that this project has less impact than what was reviewed in the EIS. And so I think that, and our thinking on that is that there are many less units. The main issue with the EIS was traffic, and obviously we've reduced, I think it was 148, something like that was reviewed. So we're down quite a bit from that.
Uh-huh.
So we feel pretty confident that there is going to be less traffic impact than there was when the EIS was done. We'll also be looking at the building itself, obviously. Okay. But we feel, at least at this point, from what we know about this project, that an addendum is appropriate. If that's the case, then the mitigations will be what you see in the old EIS. Some of them no longer apply because, for example, the buffers, there's a lot of talk about buffers being sunk low. That's no longer the case. Some of them don't apply, but the ones that I pointed out to you, those are ones that you should still be considering.
Okay, so the 10-foot, is it a 10-foot setback or is it a setback at our discretion?
These are mitigating measures, so it is. They are not regulations.
Okay.
But you want to have the same, I would say, result. You need to feel comfortable that the impact of the building is the same as if there were a 10-foot setback.
Okay. And the other, I think, are pretty clear to me anyway. Does anyone else have questions for Angela?
On the last speaker, emergency vehicles on 10th, et cetera, does the city review a project like this to make sure that there is no issue that needs to be addressed?
Oh, yes. I mean, fire, public works. Right. And actually, with this project, there's already been quite a bit of review because mm-hmm. a previous rendition of it before design review board approval was required a few years ago, got all the way through building permit. And so all that has been looked at. We have to assume that we're providing enough parking on site and that residents will park in the parking garage and not on the street. I can't guarantee that, but I mean, as with any place, we require the parking and we hope that that's where they will park. But yes, it's been reviewed by fire, it's been reviewed by Public Works, and they will look at it again at the building, whatever the project is, at the building permit stage, they'll review it again. It's not your, yep. That part isn't something you need to look at.
Okay. Setback questions too. So the 10-foot setback in the EIS was top floor from front facade, west facade, right? So what are the other setbacks aside front and rear setbacks required elsewhere?
Yeah, they are. So they're part of the zoning code.
Right, okay. And that so these we meet the zoning code setbacks?
Yes.
So, Angela, following up on that, the building is actually set back. There's no setback required on the west.
That's correct.
But this building proposed before us now is set back 11 feet on one corner and something like 18 feet. So it's already the whole building set back.
Yeah, I guess that's what I meant.
Presumably
so
that's done.
That's not required, right?
Right.
And that, right, so you would be.
Unless that was covered. Total lot coverage.
Well, I mean, there's also a lot coverage requirement. But I would say what you would be looking at is, do you get the same result with that as you would get by stepping the top part of the building back?
Mm-hmm. I think what you're getting at is, could you achieve the same result by stepping the bottom floors out?
Forward.
Or some combination there.
Yeah.
Any more questions from the board for anyone? So, who would like to begin?
I'm just here if you guys need
thanks.
Some illustrations.
I'll jump in. I appreciate for the most part the attempts at the modulating to break up the long frames that seem to connect all the corners and make it appear as one, especially on the south elevation. I recall that was one of my pet peeves. And I do like the making it into more of an H shape on that east, pulling that in. I am curious why those balconies there are the more objectionable ones that are the setback 8 feet versus the ones at the north and south corners where there are balconies that are contained within sort of more frames that are even closer to the property line. Is it just the visibility or neighbors or something in that middle section of off-site condos that is most affected? I guess I didn't understand that. Or is it the fact that they're sort of outy balconies rather than contained and sort of enclosed? But I do appreciate the stepping that back 8 feet there. And I appreciate definitely the changes in materials that and the breakups that are happening on the north and south facades. The place that I'm still heavily bothered is that west facade, the north and south corners of it, with the frames that really are, in my opinion, way too strong and way too dominant, in that they create strong, huge corners that your eye visually still connects and makes it look like one large structure. Looking at this image up there, if that northwest upper balcony didn't have an enormous white covering over the top of it and was just a void right there, you would lose a lot of that effect of the strong, huge frame that just dominates. Or conversely, if that north segment of the building was just flipped so that perhaps the frame is on the inboard on the courtyard side and that softer, exposed, darker colored element is on the northwest corner, you know, you achieve the same effect.
Did we see that at one point?
What's that? I think it was mentioned. Yeah, I think it's not the first time it's been mentioned. Regarding the EIS and the desire to get the separation, I don't think it has to be a full 10 feet on that third floor, stepping back from the floor below. I think there could be a smaller statement or a smaller gesture, if you will, that would achieve the same result, given the fact that the whole building, is, as Dave mentions, is already pushed back from the property line where there is a zero setback. So it's those corners on the south, southwest and northwest that still trouble me the most.
So, Tim, were you saying you think that top floor needs to go back more than
I'm saying it could, or the effect could be achieved by fiddling with the frame and the deck, the depth of the deck perhaps up there. You know, the old exercise in design school when you want to what looks like a bar of soap instead of four strong corners or eight strong corners, instead if they're softened and rounded at the corners, it doesn't appear as monolithic and huge. That's just, and I understand the desire of the applicant to have roof covering over expensive balconies on that west side, but I think the public is more important, and I think no coverings there and a void is a stronger piece that would help the whole project.
So. Okay. Go ahead. Either one.
I think the project is much improved in my view from the last time. I'm very much like the muted colors and the variety of materials, and I think that a lot has been done to break up the building its massive appearance. I think what Tim said I agree with pretty well. The obvious thing, dropping the building by moving the entrance, modulating, moving the east wall in, these are all improvements. I guess that's all I have.
Speaking to the west setback and probably reiterating some of the things you said, Tim.
Thanks.
So speaking to the west, west facade and the EIS setback, you know, when we look at the floor plan on page 14, and so as we noted, the buildings, the wings, the north wing is setback 10'9" to the main building, and as you point out, Tim, those frames actually seem to be, you know, back towards the property line. South wing back almost 20 feet though to the edge, and then that face is notched even further with these balconies on either corner. So when I look at this plan, I think, okay, there's a fair amount of modulation and setback, and so I think this then brings up Tim's point. If you look on page, I'm looking at 33, which is the southwest corner. it doesn't look like the plan. I look at the plan and I feel like we're meeting the desire of the EIS, and then this with a fairly bulky roof out to the corner is kind of taking that back away. So I agree. I think that that's probably the problematic element of the west. Maybe there's a trellis element or a lighter metal element or something that could provide some cover at that deck, but not be that bulky frame so that it erodes the corner a little more. Or nothing, which is, you know, also viable. I don't know what you guys think about that idea. So then that would also have the effect of maybe breaking down the scale of that frame, because those frames are really, really large-scale elements that are, you know, making that a very heavy corner on both north and south. I'll just go around like Dave did. I think the north and the south facades are successful. The east wall, I think more could have been done, but if the neighbors who face it are happy with it, then I think that's, you know, we can probably go along with that. I would hesitate, you know, to your point, Tim, about the balconies. I feel like the balconies soften the building, so I hate to have them taken away, but I would really hesitate to start taking them, you know, if they go away because of the neighbor's desire at the center of the back. That's one thing, but if they start to come away at the corners, then I would say I wouldn't want to see that happen, because I think it helps the building expression. I think moving the garage entry, dropping the building, all makes sense. I'm assuming that the height of that base podium is a function of the height of two levels of parking. So that's all I have.
That's all? Okay. So does anyone else have an issue with the monolithic quality of the roof itself and looking down on it?
Yes.
To me, that needs some softening as well.
But there again, we heard that the neighbors didn't want to see any roof modulation because they felt that it caused more shadow.
But even the white surface itself, regardless of the parapet, I find that problematic.
And it's always a dilemma, right? Because that's your energy efficient roof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume that people will look down on it. Are you, what sort of sustainability approach is being taken, or do you know, since you don't know?
I mean, we always consider it minimum lead silver, this building.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. I think it's designed, I mean, at least the intent right now is to the level where we are in the detail of the design, yeah.
Carolyn, in terms of people looking down on the roof, is it existing structures, existing?
Yeah, I'm assuming existing structure. You know, we are planting this monolith among a lot of smaller structures that take up a lot less of a footprint, and it's just white, 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 and that's my concern. I don't know who will look down on it.
Yeah, it's hard to tell from that.
Yeah, I know the elevation, the south elevation sort of shows the dashed in condos and single family to the east, but I mean, I know you actually will
further up the hill.
Well, you actually see this, a glimpse of it from Lakeview Boulevard mm-hmm. as it makes its bend. And it will be, but it's also, there's a glare off of the lake beyond, and there's other roofs that you're seeing. So I don't know how.
We put a ballast on it. Just one away. Mm. Or green roof.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome, yeah. It seems to me that would be a nice place to have some mitigation, yeah. Something else thrown in. And I completely agree with everybody about the frames. And my comment is that it's, and I agree, it were it downtown, it's a very handsome building, but it doesn't say residential. And I feel like that element should just really be restudied.
Yeah.
And that the erode, I had the same comment, Susan, written down, that the corners need to erode instead of be more defined, and that just takes up more space. It's maximizing the impact of that building envelope the way it is right now.
Wait, did you say eroding the corners was good or bad?
I think it's good. I think softens.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, and that the rigid frame, especially with the light color, just says, okay, here's our building envelope.
I was going to say, on looking, I'm not sure who's going to see the roof. You think you would see it along part of Lake Washington Boulevard?
No, I'm saying Lake View up above. But just a glimpse of it, and there may be some, again, without a site section that goes all the way up the hill, I don't think you're going to see a lot of the
roof. So breaking it up partially with part of it a green roof?
I guess first I would say if we had a section so that, you know, if it's an issue, that it should be addressed. If it's not an issue, it doesn't need to be.
Mm-hmm. I think one point about that, too, is that if there's a combination of ballast and green roof or something, that could be used to break up this very strong flat form.
Yeah.
You could actually have it be, the wings be one and the center section be another or something, and that would help relieve the scale of it, not just the surface.
Before they lost the 3 feet, there was a good opportunity to have the two wings taller and have the center section, the crossbar of the H, lower, but I think we lost that opportunity when we went down to the 30-foot above grade.
I was just going to make a point about the corners and eroding the corners, just because I feel like the decks can stay.
Mm-hmm.
And so
essentially
we're not asking for any area to be taken away. We're just asking for that strong roof.
Graphic, visually, compositionally.
I mean, can you go back to that? Which was that page, our page 33 looks like your page 29, the Lake Washington Boulevard view, that one right there. So I think, specifically, the thing that I'm looking at from this view is that big corner thing right there that just hangs out in space there. The same thing happens here when you're looking southward from the other side of the street. And again, this piece of it, not part of it right there, you know, seems to work okay in terms of being eroded and kind of nibbled away. And the contrast in colors with the materials from the fiber cement 3, I think it is there, versus the fiber cement 1, I think, is where it could really be. And again, Susan's point, looking at the plans, it looks like, gosh, the corners are already nibbled away, and there's outside decks there. Mm-hmm. And then we see this. And again, I'll jump on the applicant for, in the drawings, we need to see lines that represent items on the building. If it's dashed lines for objects above you when you're on the ground floor, we need to see those. And if you're standing on the floor levels of 2 and 3 and you see a frame element that hangs out beyond the balconies, we need to see that graphically in plan. Otherwise, it's.
I will say that when you do these frame type elements, I appreciate the change in plane, mm-hmm. as opposed to it being more of a flat applique, mm-hmm. change in material. So I don't think I'm suggesting that they get pulled back in general.
Even if they were dark, they would recede more. Mm-hmm. And if they were maybe narrower, I don't know. I mean, it's not for me, but
we know there's
they're just very powerful. Yeah.
Fortunately, the colors are much muted.
I like the palette.
What I thought we were getting.
The color palette is very
great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. very nice.
And I think it's the fiber cement 1 has a bit of texture to it.
It's really nice.
Instead of being, obviously, it'll get joints, which we sort of start to see the indication of there, but the texture, and I think, helps immensely.
Does anybody have any comment on the landscaping? Or do we need to defer that?
I mean, as long as Crinkle Lawn is an astroturf, Is it plastic one?
No.
Okay. Well, that's not, you would be surprised.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I think one of the nice things here is, and I, you know, Scott is obviously better at the plant palette, but what the nice thing is there isn't parking under this, right? So this mm-hmm. is all on real dirt, and so it can be real tree, you know, the trees don't have to be in planters, and I think that this actually will be in a nice space that contributes to the pedestrian realm on Lake Washington Boulevard.
Knowing nothing about this, I was going to be interested to see what Scott had to say.
Yeah.
I thought that a bamboo grove seems like kind of low class. You know, and I just have no idea whether it would be successful for the building, and I'm not qualified to say any more than I wonder.
Well, I suspect that Scott will have something to say when he sees it, but it seems like it's going in a good direction as far as I can tell.
The one piece of the landscaping that I did have a question about was the, I guess it's been a request or from the East property owners, and that is to put in a much heavier conifer, you know, line across there. If
that was in our comments too, though.
Yeah.
So are those, but are they conifers that we can say stop growing, and or do they get topped like a hedge at some point? Again, Scott would know.
I think I can comment a little bit on that. I think the species we selected have a limited growth to sort of to about 30 feet.
They'll cap it.
Yeah, they will sort of cap it.
And does that?
So we don't have like big firs going 70 feet tall.
Okay. So there still is visibility over the building to the lake and beyond for
essentially,
the
yes,
that, property yeah. owners to the east. Okay.
How do we feel about the whole project reading as two separate buildings versus one? I mean, we talked about it on the roof. I think it's very clear that that's a single element, but otherwise in the elevations?
I think it reads as the same. I mean, they're the same. It's a bookended, you know, buildings mm-hmm. are bookended.
And there's some deliberate changes this time mm-hmm. between the north and the south wings.
Yeah,
which I think come through.
I think visually when you approach it for the first time from either the south or the north, you're going to see a large courtyard that separates it somewhat visually into two large wings. But then the second time you're going to know, no, it's just one big building that has a fairly deep recessed west courtyard.
I meant that the facades are the same.
Yeah.
I mean, that certainly there's a deep separation between.
Do we want to see more differentiation so that we, they tend to read more as two smaller buildings rather than the symmetry?
I don't know. It doesn't bother me so much, and I wouldn't want it to get too busy, but
yeah.
I'm open for discussion.
Well, I picked up and appreciated the changes that were made, so mm-hmm. having a carbon copy, I think, is not the direction to go.
I think there's enough differentiation. I don't know if I would encourage them to introduce yet more colors in the palette, or
no.
I don't think that's the answer to it. And I, you know, the north elevation will get very little direct sun versus the south elevation, which obviously, although there are, will eventually be some pretty good trees planted there. So I don't think there's a need to introduce yet more colors or hues to the material palette that we have.
Other comments?
Just a question. The lot coverage is 80. It shows here is 79.9%. Is that right? It would seem that with the
yes,
courtyard.
I think it's. I think it's within the 80.
Yeah. How do you measure lot coverage when you've got an open courtyard?
It actually includes the paving as well, because the lot coverage includes the paving. So the building is about, I think, 70%, okay, roughly, or less than that. But it includes all the pavers, and that's why we need to redesign the courtyard, so all the paved areas. We tried to make the courtyard original as a plaza, and we had to scale back and introduce more landscaping because the paving counts toward your lot coverage.
But the reason you didn't set the building back because of lot coverage requirements?
No.
Okay.
No.
It was to make a better
building. The building was staying, and then we had to work with the courtyard to not exceed the 80%.
So if you guys look back at design one.
Which page are you?
48. Attachment two. So I think, I think what's happened is these frame boxes, they've been sliding back and forth across the face of the wing. And so if you look at the bottom of page 48, you can see that they did have a lighter roof on the corner, and the corners were more recessed. But then on the inside, so it's basically, it's flipped, because now we have that lighter, darker color, lighter frame on the inside. And is it fair to say that what we're looking for is that eroded corner on both? So the wing essentially mimics the plan, and those.
I think so.
And the frame piece gets narrower, and so then the expression on the end is narrower.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that. I think it's fair to say that the frame element is just too powerful.
Because I didn't want to send them away and have it slide back to the other side again.
Right.
Because I think it's still the width and the scale of that element is more the issue.
Yeah, I think it's a context issue of just trying to respond more to a lower density surround.
Right. And a width that is more in keeping with the rhythm along the street.
Yeah.
So,
what is the width of the frame element on the west?
3 feet 10 inches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he means the whole home.
Oh.
Yeah, and the whole thing is 50.
It's about 50 feet.
Yeah. It's 5 feet?
55.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant the frame itself.
Oh, the frame itself.
Is it 2 feet or something?
It's probably 2 feet.
Well, the bottom of it on that west side is 3 feet 10.
Yeah.
So and about 4 feet. You look at, go to your page 20, our page 25, yours 21.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole.
Okay, that's pretty big.
There's a whole lot of nothing inside that. Is this just framed from the PT slab and out and down?
Yeah. Wow.
And I understand part of that's to sort of hide the fact that we still have a pretty substantial floor to floor. We're 18 feet 3 inches. Right. And
no, it's 16 2 now. It was 18, right?
Yeah. If my math's right, isn't 49 8? And 31.5. Anyway,
I was looking on page 25 where it says. Maybe I can't see.
Well, in the event, I do think.
Did you say it came down to 16 feet?
Mm, yeah, it didn't. It's
18 feet right now. That's what it reads.
18 feet 2.
Okay.
And I'm just not sure that's very correct.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I'm not bothered by the tall commercial space because I think there's a lot of really interesting things that can happen with a, even if you, I don't know why this 14-foot-4 ceiling is dropped in there. Maybe that's to match the bottom of the frame on the outside. But, you know, it's not a bug, it's a feature. Make a real tall commercial space in there work really, you know, interestingly. If it's a cafe or a little boutique kind of shop, you get that extra ceiling height that's to be, you know, enjoyed, not hidden away.
Regardless of the height, it's the frames.
The frames, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other comments? Thoughts?
Where are we on the fence? We discussed that in the past.
The fence.
On the fence? I am not... To me, it's not a deal breaker either way.
I don't like. I like the horizontal slatted fence better than that.
Yeah. Horizontal slatted fence.
Are you talking that fence on the south?
Yeah.
Was it required? Did it not be wood?
It was required that it be wood.
It was required that it be wood.
I think that's right. Isn't that right?
I'll have to.
But then we hear from the neighbors are thinking that they don't need.
I thought that was, is that to the south or the east fence?
East.
The east. Okay.
Okay. The south fence is still a required fence?
Both are required fences. It would have to be departure.
Okay. Well, then we prefer the horizontal.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we are going to continue.
I think so.
Yeah, yes, we definitely need to.
Yeah, because of the EIS anyway.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
With in our provision, our recommendation is that they relook at those frame elements and the corners on the north and south of the west elevation and in the interior on both sides of the courtyard and the street sides of those and see if we can, you know, lessen the impact and make it more residential in feeling and proportion and things like that. Is that clear enough direction for you?
Sorry, so you want to eliminate?
No.
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
No, eliminate. Just okay. Take another. The biggest concern to us is that the frame element, and we want you to see if you can re-study it and have it feel more residential and respond in scale and proportion and texture to a residential neighborhood.
I think another point to is, you know, it's really those variable corners, and I think what's happening is the setbacks that are required by the EIS. You know, I think we can grant you perhaps that it's okay. We're getting the same effect when you set back the whole building and then you set back the corner on either side of those wings. Mm-hmm. But then when you come back out with that frame, you're basically, we're losing the...
I understand the west bend. Elevation
okay.
concern. I do
yeah.
understand
okay.
that. But
that's cool. That's what
I
was talking
did I understand
about.
That you want to do it all around the project?
No.
Okay, all right. That's what I was confused.
Yeah,
sorry.
We're concerned mm-hmm. only with the west
okay,
elevation.
Understand. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And,
understand.
And I would also include the study of that the roof element, and if you want to look into doing sections and seeing if it's an issue. And then also when you come back, you'll be subject to the scrutiny of our landscape expert.
And we'll bring our landscape.
I think it's going in a great direction.
Yeah. So you just mentioned the roof itself?
Right. Yeah.
Because okay. I do think that this is a roof that really, I think it should have a treatment to it. More than just your bare TPO, because it is, I think it was visible from a lot of buildings up the hill and from pedestrians as they move from up the hill down to the lake. So it'll help it if nestle is the right word.
It would be good to see the.
Yeah, it'd be good to see what, you know, maybe some Google Earth shots just. You know, you can drop your model into Google Earth, and we can see how, you know, how much it is viewed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd perhaps like to see some real definition of what the roof enclosures are, how high they are, what they...
The screening.
The screening around the HVAC units and the elevator overruns, just to see how they work with or without the roofing materials.
And on the east side, are we comfortable with the agreements with the neighbors?
I think I am.
Okay.
I'm fine.
We do that.
Mm-hmm. The one question I did have, I probably should have asked it earlier, on whatever page is, let's see, page 11 or 15, there's two different area calculations performed. One, it says revised line on southwest corner, and that's what got it low enough to get the, I assume to get the impervious ratio in there. What is that?
Sorry.
11 or 15,
yes.
Yeah.
So currently, and let's look at the survey, currently this is the property.
Uh-huh.
We are required to dedicate this portion back to the city of Kirkland. Mm-hmm. So okay. Not knowing, just for the sake of being safe, we calculated the lot coverage on both prior to dedication and post-dedication. So that's why you see two calculations.
Okay.
Okay. So, but if you have the entire calculation, it doesn't meet the 20% permeable, correct? Only after you subtract that strip does it meet the... Because in both cases, we're providing 10,614 with the entire lot. We need 10,906, so we're short there, not quite 300 square feet. And when you take that slice out, then we do, we're over the 20%.
Okay, I need to look at that.
Okay. I mean, it seems reasonable if you have to dedicate the right-of-way.
I'm not sure that might be an easement rather than a dedication. If it's an easement, that piece of property, then it's calculated in the lot coverage. I don't know how
okay.
it's going to go. So we need to check into that more.
Okay. The one area that we never really get a picture of really what's going on is that the paving and the grades and the steps and everything else that happened at the parking entrance and the trash doors and all of that kind of stuff, and how there's got to be big retaining walls and some stuff going on there. I'd sure love to see that in a little bit greater detail.
Okay. So there's a little bit of that shown on the on this elevation where the trash is at the same level as the garage door, and then we have the step back and we have the courtyard, which was there before as well. And then,
so that driveway doesn't get warped too heavily. We get a level parking entrance, and is there still a gate or a roll up?
Yes, there is still a little bit side gate. And then you see on this one is the access to the lower service area.
And that's to that door that gets out of
the
level
the,
one.
Yeah, behind the commercial.
Okay. And how high does that?
It goes to the, I mean, that was the elevation. It really goes to the full height.
So it's about 10 or 12 feet?
No. Yeah, about 8.
Okay.
8 feet there.
Okay.
Do you need to see that in more detail for the next time?
No, not probably not necessarily.
I'm just wondering if there is a rendering kind of showing that.
Yeah, the rendering has a bunch of trees in the way, I think.
It's you know, here you kind of have that.
Okay.
Courtyard. And that's the top of that's the driveway to the trash and garage.
Oh, right
so.
There. So this is easier to see on that. Okay.
I mean, to be honest, I think it would be nice to see what the screening looks like with the overhead door looks like. If it's just if it's just perforated metal coiling
door.
Oh,
what is the design of the garage door?
Yeah, because that recess there for the trash enclosure, the gas room, and the parking entry is, you know, there's a lot of people who walk down this mm-hmm. sidewalk. So just to show that it's being thoughtfully finished, I guess. So it doesn't look like an alley.
So we do have landscaping in front of the trash area, so it's just the driveway is exposed.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, I mean, I think this might be a place, if you have a fence plan, this might be a place for not the wood fence, but something that's
there is no fence on the north side.
There's none, okay. Right. So you don't have a fence across that?
No.
And I know the sort of the wall sections showed the cut through the parking garage entrance, but there's no indication where that door, that's page 20 or 24, there we go. So is the roll down screen, is it back at the
it's back.
First column?
Yeah.
It's back there, okay. And that's slate on that, on the sides of the, either side, okay. With something covering up the foil insulation, or is that?
Oh, yes, we'll have a soffit on exterior.
Okay, so it's nice and
tidy.
Tidy is a good word. I know we've been neglectful in the past of not realizing what the undersides of those PT slabs look like occasionally, and we get surprised.
All right. Okay, so have you got any questions for us?
No, I don't. If I can summarize, my understanding was to study the west corners, reuse or eliminate those frames at the corners to make the corners transitional, I guess, not so strong. Look at, revise the calculations for the lot coverage. Look at the treatment of the roof. So maybe that makes the two elements with connectors stronger by employing different materials. Study or illustrate you the roof treatments, the overhang, the overruns, and the screening. What else?
Garage doors.
Just that sort of service side there.
Okay.
A little more detail.
No, I had a couple more things. You wanted a more residential feel, responding scale and texture. So that's kind of a general statement, again, about that west side, I think.
Yeah.
And then more information on the roof appurtenances.
Yeah.
So their height, just more detail, and how they're going to be screened. Garage door. Yeah, that's all I had, too.
Okay.
So we do need to continue, and I guess I'd like to discuss that a little bit.
Okay.
I think that it would be good to wait until May for this.
After the EIS.
Yeah, we need to do the addendum, and I don't know when there will be a property owner. If I don't know if we could respond to that, but it seems like it would make sense to wait until we know what direction the design is going before we go further with this. So that's what I would suggest.
And I cannot answer that question, but I can ask and I can communicate with you after the. Okay.
Well, we need to continue at this point.
So
I understand that, but I can give you more information.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So we think mid-May or early May or late?
We've got, 2 months is May 8th.
Right.
Or the 22nd.
Well, I'd suggest the 22nd, honestly, okay. But I'm open to hearing something else.
All right.
Okay.
Then
okay.
Someone like to move.
All right. I'll move that we continue the design response conference to Monday, May 22nd, 2017.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion granted to continue on May 22nd. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Any administrative?
Nothing administrative.
In general, it can never.
Once you do that, without, well,
We'd have to re-advertise. You know, so we try to avoid that.
Okay, I was just curious.
But it may be determining what, who buys it, which one has it. We'd probably have to start over. So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
No, I was more in, as a general protocol.
Yeah, that's the magic of continuing it, is it keeps that unbroken string. As soon as you have a break in that or change that, then that's when you go back to having to redo the public notice.
Start from back up to roll the ball back up.
It's doable, but you lose time doing that, so you probably end up in the same position anyway.
So what triggers the addendum to the EIS? When does that happen? Is it pending now, or do you wait for?
Well, I've been kind of waiting to see what the problem is going to be.
Okay.
Because it's like, if we do an addendum on this, and then we get another owner, then we do another addendum.
Really? Okay.
It's tied to the ownership.
It's not tied to the ownership. It's tied to the design. So if someone were to come and buy, we're still
official.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Okay. So if someone buys the property and goes ahead with this design, then the addendum would be fine. If somebody buys the property and wants to change it, say, wants to put in a senior living facility, then their number of units changes, their parking changes. Sure. We need to start over and re-advertise, even if the basic building format looks the same.
Sure.
So I'm trying to get a feel for that before I do the addendum.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyone else got anything?
I move for adjournment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Pretty good.
Meeting adjourned.
Just past 8:30. Past 8:30.